It's too much. It's too much to be here. Gone like the quarantine. Even though she's ugly and deserves to be alone, I feel kind of bad for her. It's your host, Heavy Cream.
Hey, bud. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I didn't get too crazy last night. I feel great about my life these days.
Yeah, yeah. So Bud did this really great thing last night where, first of all, you have this mason jar obsession.
Yeah, I do like jars a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I collect them, and I drink out of them, and I use all of them. But I use 2 at a time, and I have 30, and my partner is like, what the... You gotta get rid of these.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Well, so she gave gifts yesterday, right, that were mason jars filled with, what was the...
Gummy bear shots.
Gummy bear shots.
But it was a whole mason jar of gummy bear shots, so everybody could just carry it around and do shots all night.
It was a little Christmas, pre-Christmas.
Yeah, a little Christmas spirit. We have a guest.
Well, we do. We have Kelly Kelly here with us in the room.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
My name is Rachel Boehm. I'm just kidding. Hi, it's me, Kelly Kelly.
Oh, is that how she does it?
Wait, is that...
But she's just darkness and evil.
Yeah, just darkness and sadness, angst and wrath.
But I do have a really important question to ask you.
Yes, what is it?
How do you take your tea?
With cream and 2 sugars.
Yes. Exactly. Okay, so the truth is no one drinks tea, eh?
Yes,
I drink tea.
Well, Josh has an obsession with tea.
And if you do have tea, you're not putting cream and 2 sugars in it.
No, you just drink it.
You're spilling.
Yeah.
Right. I spilled this shit all over the floor.
This is the essential flaw in the title of the podcast. Damn it.
Right, right.
Listen, I want to talk about UCDR. We know a bunch of the baby queens, and their lips... sealed.
They were so sealed that I know everything.
I believe that, though. I believe it.
I mean, I can be convincing.
I gave them a light statement this year. I was like, just don't spill too much. I don't want everyone to know, you know, who's in it and the competitions
literally,
every week. And I believe that they've spilled
exactly
all of it.
That's exactly what they're
doing.
Exactly
what they're doing. We just won't tell the dates. That's all.
But I don't know anything. I know 2 people that are competing, and I know 1 runway, because that was Aljador.
And what runway did she spill? If it was one of my top 4 runways, I'm changing it.
It's the first one.
Oh, what's the first one?
Is she told Death Becomes Her is the runway.
Yes.
She's like, that's the one I'm really excited about.
That's going to be for our... Let me actually pull... I can pull my whole list up.
Okay.
You guys can't peek at this list.
Well, we just want to tease
but
her
for you,
all
I'll,
the,
yeah,
the
I'll
dozens
give you guys
of
a little background.
Just so you know, there's a sex camera behind you.
Okay, look. Where's the camera?
We know a couple of baby drag queens. Did they tell you what they were excited about without sharing any of the challenges or runways?
Well, I mean, okay, so first of all, I'm not necessarily saying I got it from baby drag queens.
Okay.
A.
Okay.
And B.
So is Jador.
I'm not...
I'm
not saying it's anybody. I'm just saying that because you know,
drag queen
Kelly Kelly
me.
Will go online and she will post it and she will tag you.
I will. All of that. And then, if you don't like it in 10 minutes, I'm going to the comments and dropping middle fingers. So,
I love this.
Respond.
So, I don't know anything about what's going on, but just to get everyone excited, the baby drag queen did message me over Grindr and say, could you help me make a large vagina? And that's all I know. That's all I know. And I said,
wow.
No.
I am sure I know a challenge she's going to use that for, and that is going to be hilarious. I'll tell you guys
one thing that gets you excited.
About UCDR? Well, honestly, to be 100% honest, like, my biggest thing, and it sounds so cheesy and so fucking corny, but I literally, like, love, like, playing a part in someone else's career or playing a part in... helping someone grow. So, like, literally, like, it's not even, oh, we got this many bar sales, oh, my check went up to this, oh, yada, yada, yada. It's about, oh, my God, this year I gave 8 more queens stage confidence.
Yeah,
I taught 8 more queens how to put on makeup. I taught 8 more queens, you know, what to do, how to act, how to carry yourself, stuff like that. And even you can attest to the fact that, like, I
literally got nothing out of it. So thank you.
You got a lot out of it.
I did. It's a lie.
People love you now.
You got more out of it than anyone.
Literally.
I feel like you got more out of it.
And the thing is with me is like, everybody, like, you can't really categorize me, but you know you kind of can't categorize me. I'm like, I'm pretty. I have my pageant side where I'm critiquing, but I try to let everybody be so open. That's why, like, I love the bearded queens. I love the bio queens. I love the cis queens. What anything you want to do, I love it because art is art. So every year I get the chance to see new art, literally, and I get to watch art like made before my eyes.
It's kind of awesome because it's brand new. Literally, it's like it's a spark of interest, and then boom, it just becomes something that can be sustained or not sustained or whatever. And it's kind of neat to see like that ebb and flow of like, well, you know, they're really connecting or they're not connecting and whatever. But you had mentioned something just a second ago about pageants. And I kind of wanted to talk to you about that and the relationship between pageants and University Club Drag Race. Because there's a difference,
yes,
right?
Yes, there is a difference.
And then how do you fit? Yeah.
Okay, so a little bit about my pageant background history first.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, just so we can go through the whole gradient.
Please, bring it.
So, my first pageant I ever did, I did Miss Metro.
Because she's a Duval girl?
I'm a Duval girl from the beginning.
Wait, but is Duval a place?
Duval is Jacksonville.
Oh, okay, okay.
Oh, nice. No, it wasn't. I was a bold little bitch. I was. Can I curse?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Oh, I was a bold motherfucker. I was bold. My first pageant I ever did was Miss North Florida FI, a prelim to National Miss Florida.
Right.
First time ever in a pageant.
Uh-huh.
And I think I'm going to Nationals. Anyway, so, yeah, even you laugh, right? I should have laughed at that point.
Dreams.
So, at this point, I'm 2 years old, literally, and I am going against headliners. I'm up against Alexis Mateo, Sonya De La Cruz, Deanna Bonet, like, money. I'm going up against money.
They have it.
They have it. And they have the expertise, and they have the network, they have all that. So I felt like when I first did that, it was such a scare because you're not used to the competition side of it. You know, you don't really know if you can be a fierce queen, but can I be friends with these people? And that's kind of what I try to tie into UCDR. You have to use the armor hop back and forth a little bit. It's just that I don't ever want girls to feel like, oh, I have to come up on my own. I don't want that.
Right.
I want y'all to say, I came up with this circle of girls, and now look where we're at. So I feel like my first pageant, like, oh, it was just shaking. It was just shaking because, like, I was thrown into it. And the next pageant I did was Miss Metro Newcomer. So that was actually a step down. If you guys don't know anything about the history of pageants, basically the ranks are, the lowest pageant is a closet ball. Okay. Not saying lowest. Everything is great in its own right.
Right.
But as far as excelling to the top,
uh-huh.
Not saying closet ball queen to the top. Someone's going to hear this and be like, she was being shady. So the right.
I mean, you can be as shady as you want and they can go fuck themselves.
Quite honestly. Bye. Because whose show is it?
Bye, mine.
Thank you.
On hours.
Hours.
We fucking real.
Okay, so closet ball.
Closet ball pageants work in the sense of a pageant is always presentation, talent, evening gown or evening wear, however that is. So closet ball is you come and do presentation as a male or I mean, there's not really a cis closet ball. In the future, there may be some way. I don't want to knock it if there is. You come out and do closet ball as your cisgender, and then during the entertainment portion of the contest, that's about an hour, you get painted and put into drag, and then you come back for evening gown. You do evening gown, then you go and do talent, and then winner is crowned. So that's closet ball. Closet ball is all about, the reason why it's called closet ball is like, he's in the closet, like he's gay, but he ain't been in drag yet. So when you come out, so the way they dock it is...
first time draggers?
Not necessarily first time draggers, because that's the thing, is you can be a very polished closet ball queen, because a lot of queens take their ranks very seriously. So if I want to go and do 8 closet ball pageants and then move up to a newcomer pageant, then that's the order that it is.
Okay.
But yeah, so closet ball, like, they dock you on things like how masculine were. If you're presenting as a male, be masculine. Have on a suit, have on a tie, be well groomed, present yourself like a man, or whatever your gender may be.
It's interesting.
God, SJW's got me just terrified these days.
Are you kidding?
Seriously. Like, yeah. I even on Facebook, like, I've had to move to Twitter, because, like, it's just, like, I can say what I want, and I don't have to worry about anyone thinking it's about them, or I'm knocking somebody, or I'm doing this. I'm just being me, and I'm saying what I want in 280 characters or less.
Yes. Balls are interestingly problematic.
I kind of want to talk about this transition that you made from Facebook to Twitter.
Okay.
Because that would be really helpful. Mm-hmm. Why? What's the deal with that? Why did you do that? We'll go back to Closet Balls.
Okay.
Girl, you've given us the
all. I'm giving y'all all the tea. I told Josh it's all about it. It's gonna be a wreck. Literally. So Facebook and Twitter, that's just like, I love everybody. I literally try to be the most humble and nice person, but you can't please everybody. Uh-huh. No matter what, you cannot please everybody. Somebody's not gonna like you. Somebody's not gonna like the things you say. And I just feel like, one, I feel like Facebook has become, like, the internet makes the world smaller, but I know y'all. Mm-hmm. I see y'all at the club.
I don't know you.
I don't have to tag you in something every 4 minutes for you to know I like you.
True.
I don't have to tag you in something every 10 minutes to know I like you. That we're friends. And I feel like Facebook has just become like, you go on and it's automatically instantly about you. If it's not you, it's about Trump or the government or the latest scandal or sexual harassment.
Yes.
And it's just like, when can I follow who I want to follow and get the news that I want to get? Mm-hmm. If I care about what dolphin just died in California that I know nothing about, then I can't get that on Facebook because Facebook is too busy telling me that I've made 10 posts in the past month. I don't care.
Right.
Like, I really don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to use that as an outlet to get points across and not have to feel like, oh, only my top 8 friends are going to see this. Mm-hmm. Oh, only 10 people are going to see this. Oh, I want more people to know. I got to get it sponsored or something like that. Like, right. I just feel like Twitter's more in the raw. Like, if you have a point to communicate, get it out there. And if somebody has something to say about it, it's on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So I can't. I'm not adding you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can if I want to be really bad on Twitter.
Right.
But it's Twitter. It's for general statements.
Are we following each other on Twitter?
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh.
I
don't know. I mean, actually,
I genuinely think I do. I genuinely think I do. I honestly do.
I'm not following you. I'll make a Twitter and then I'll figure out how to follow people. I can tweet. I could tweet something. That's great. Is it a simpler algorithm?
It's so much simpler. I promise you it's so much simpler. Like, and the thing about Facebook I hate too is you get like all these top posts in your feed and it's like,
right.
I don't want to read what everybody else is reading. If my favorite artists are Cupcake, Amy Winehouse, and Eartha Kitt, why do I want to read Facebook posts all the time about SZA? Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
You're fired.
I don't want to read. I don't care about top posts about Nicki Minaj and the Booty Gang or Migos and all that. It's like just because my friends are looking at it doesn't mean I want to see it. So stop predicting who I am. Twitter lets you be who you are. Mm-hmm. It's like if I literally want to follow two people, Beyonce and a God page, then guess what? That's it.
Jess is in the room, by the way. Jess is our podcast
manager. Didn't see you there.
Our podcast producer. And Jess actually, this is her kind of her medium. These are her mediums: Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
So Twitter is simpler. They don't filter things for you.
I do use Twitter.
What do you like better?
I think it's more informal than Facebook.
Yes.
Everything you post on Facebook seems so serious.
Everything.
And my family members will always comment on it.
Like literally last
family
night.
Family members.
Literally, this is a perfect example. Last night, I made a post on Twitter that it said, looking at all the extra queens coming to work tonight, like, and it was a gif of a girl like,
uh-huh.
Now on Twitter,
okay.
Now on Twitter, it's like, oh, she is about to be a lot of people in the dressing room, you know, she's tired, whatever. On Facebook, that would have been, how dare she talk about Nikki and Heavy and Rachel and Veronica? Mm. She's so nasty. She's a vile person. And I'm like, no, I just want room. Like,
I need to get
literally,
ready.
Like, where can I say that? Like, where can I say, oh, it's dead in the club tonight without someone thinking you're attacking my night?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where can I say, oh, I don't like this person's shoes without someone thinking that's a direct attack on them? Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
I don't, like you said, it's more informal. Your feelings don't get hurt over anything.
Well, so let's talk about University Club Drag Race. Speaking of feelings that should never get hurt, University Club Drag Race is a piece of wonderful work that you put together.
I thought you were going to say a piece of shit.
Right?
It's a piece of shit.
I mean,
a piece of hot shit.
All right, well.
It's implied.
Well, okay.
But so tell me more about, like, University Club Drag Race. Okay, so first of all, my experience with University Club Drag Race. No, so it was really great, and I had such a good time. And it, from week to week, I was able to kind of experiment and do the new things that I wanted. And so you're helping new queens do this. What do you take from pageants?
So we're gonna loop back.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm still curious about like how we connect the pageant part to the University of Drag Race.
How do you feel about it? Let me ponder.
I think it's really nice while you ponder. I think it's a really nice thought to think. With RuPaul, there are a lot of queens that come up without families, without like traditional houses, like I think the history of drag is. So it's really nice to think like, oh, now I have a group of sisters. Like, you don't have a drag family, but you have like a group of sisters
from UCDR.
And probably and like, if you go through a pageant with a group of girls.
Morrison, Daniel, Nicole
King. I'm
connecting. Yeah. You know, I connect with those girls. I mean, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. They're
really
still
nice.
Like my sis. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A competition lifts people up even though not everyone wins.
So that was kind of the point, right? So I think people sometimes take it very personally, you know, competing in a competition, right? I have to win, I have to win, I have to win. And they take it very seriously. And that's fair. And you should, within yourself. You are not in a competition with other people.
Exactly.
You're literally in a competition with yourself.
And sometimes, I'm sure you can even attest to the fact that, like, when everything happened, when we went through the whole season, you know, people started getting knocked off, boom, boom, bam, every week. Somebody got their feelings hurt. I'm sorry your feelings got hurt. But guess what? Every one of my contestants now can look back and say, oh, damn, she was right. Oh, I see it. Oh, I see that. Oh, okay. Now I see why this happened. Or now I see why that happened.
That's fine.
But, yeah, no. So we're desensitized. Sensodyne. For sensitivity.
It's really important to protect your enamel, people. Okay? Otherwise, your teeth get too sensitive. So definitely use Apt mouthwash and Sensodyne toothpaste.
Well, I want to ask you about your inspiration to what when okay, not just with University Cup Drag Race, but kind of your inspiration to do drag. Where did it come from?
Long story short, this is a story I've told many a time. Back in my day.
I like that you keep flipping your hair.
Oh, yeah.
That you don't have
and you know what's funny, right too? I have such a habit of doing that, and it's like, I don't even wear hair that long after time. Like, usually I have on, like, my poof or a chop up. Rarely do y'all see I pull out my little Beyonce hair because it be so hot, and I ain't got time for it. Right? So, a long time ago, like, when the Titanic went to the bottom.
We're older like than you, Bob. Kelly. We're older.
I know. I like to sound so
we're
much
way older.
So you guys may know a drag queen by the name of Felicia Brooks.
I do know her.
So in 2013, yes, literally 2013. I'm still a child, even though I sound old. I graduated high school.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. Yeah, I know. I knew that was gonna make you feel. Yeah, I know. 87 was a hard year for you.
Right.
It was a rough time. Bud is embarrassed. I'm not.
When did you graduate high school?
Okay. That was not 98.
She's like, that was not the agreement. That's when my aunt graduated high school in 98.
And that's when you were born?
What about you? 43?
I graduated in 2003.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm only 33.
I always thought he was older than you.
God damn it.
I mean, it's just the head, though.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean,
you took it into your own hands. You took control.
It's the way that I carry myself. Thank you, Kelly. Thanks for recognizing that.
Hey, you guys, calm down. Getting a little rowdy. I'm just kidding. Okay, so Felicia Brooks, in 2013, I graduated high school. And about July, after the May of graduation, I met Felicia as James. I used to come out to UC, you know, hang out.
Your name is James?
Felicia's name is Jay. My name is Jose, for the record.
Oh, but my goodness.
I go by Jay. Okay.
But Kelly. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to out you.
That would be so weird. Oh, you guys like, Jose.
Hey, Jose. Jose. What you doing over there, Jose? Your dress is nice today.
So Felicia and I, James and I, at that point, engaged in a relationship. And he had a lot of life things going on at that point. I previously had a lot of stage experience. I've been a thespian since, like, sixth grade. So, like, stage and performance, all of that is nothing new to me. And he was going through a lot in his life, and he decided to quit drag. He quit drag. We also broke up at the time. Well, during our relationship, I made a lot of new friends through Felicia. Those were mostly my Chantel and Crystal. That was when I, you know, I was literally one of the extras.
Wait, like, did you just say Crystal was your friend?
What?
Yeah. I mean, Chantel, I understand.
You know, he's gonna just Crystal is my friend. So through Felicia is how I met like Crystal and Shan and Dexter, and that's how I met Jade. Literally, so I met a lot of people. And me and Crystal were like the closest. Me and Crystal were sisters. So when Felicia broke up, ran back out to the country, she literally left all her drag at Crystal's.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So at this point, I'm like...
So you're like, I'll try it on.
I was like, look at these belts and these gloves and these pants and these shirts and these wigs and these glasses and all this.
This is a really interesting entry to drag.
Literally.
I don't think I've ever heard that before.
So
I stole it.
But she broke my heart. So
it was even.
All
right, all right.
So to be 100% honest and fair, the drag was not left to me. The drag was left in a closet at Crystal's. When she went through her whole whatever, she told Crystal that she didn't care what happened to the drag. Mm-hmm. So Crystal Light, being the stupid skate bitch she is, mm-hmm. obviously went through it all first.
Oh, yeah.
she went through so, all yeah. of it.
So you're of still course. Wearing the throwaways that...
Crystal Light's throwaways.
Hello. Literally. So double throwaway.
I'm sorry. James's throwaway, Crystal Light's throwaway is now
in the closet's throwaway.
It's your drag, yeah.
So at this point, I'm like, okay, I got, you know, a couple gigs I can pull together out of these 8 horrible items.
Uh-huh.
Well, I remember, okay, so people have always told me, or I've heard a story about the little Jose that was in the corner at the University Club who couldn't stop dancing over by the stairs.
So
Jose dancing in the corner.
She had a little space all to her own. She had a little movement, you know, plenty of space to twerk when she needed to twerk.
And now that you bring that up, we'll get back into the house hard drag thing. But I think it's so funny. Like, I literally like admire people like your age who are just getting into drag. Mm-hmm. Like, you're 1-2 years off the boat. Like,
I admire people your like, age like, taking out of bed.
Like, you know, I didn't mean it like that. I meant like,
no, no, I did.
First of all, she did. Yeah. She's weird.
You understand what I mean when I say like I wish I could go back to that, Jose.
Do you really?
I never got the chance to grow up. Uh-huh. I never got the chance to just go to a club and dance my ass off. Mm-hmm. I never got to go to a club and not know how it works. Mm-hmm. I never didn't know how the cash register worked. Mm-hmm. I didn't never know, you know, who's getting paid what and what's the bartender making and what time does the DJ come in. I never got that. For me, like, literally... When all I had was, I graduated in May. Me and Felicia were together May, June, July. August is when I got into drag for the first time. Mm-hmm. So, like,
wow.
I only had 2 months.
The fun going out to the club ended.
Mm-hmm. It ended. Yeah. I had 2 months of being an adult. 2 months. Like, and now I'm looking back at 5 years of doing drag. Like, I literally devoted more of my adult life to Kelly Kelly than myself. Mm-hmm. So I wish, like, I could just... Like, and that's why sometimes we'll go to Parliament House, because Parliament House is like the only place where it's like
break loose. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows me. And guess what the worst part is? People are starting to fucking know me. So it's like, leave me alone. Like I just don't. I can't go any unless I like go to freaking Miami or Atlanta or like where I'm really not known. I just don't. If I went to the club tonight after I got off show and got out of drag and went and started dancing on the dance floor, one, my band would be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what drugs are you on? And secondly, everybody would just be like, here's Kelly Kelly. There's Kelly Kelly. Oh, Kelly's dancing in the corner.
That's true.
Kelly, do you want a shot? And it's like, sometimes I don't want to be Kelly. I want to be Jose. Sometimes I want to be Jay. Like, sometimes I just want to hang out. That's why I like doing the spotlight on Wednesday. Because literally, I don't have to be in drag.
In the back.
I'm behind the spotlight. I get to just watch a show.
You get to see a show.
Literally. Okay,
that's a challenge that I've had too, where after I've been in drag, now I don't get to see the show.
Exactly. And that's why I like Pia's too, because I can watch the show. Like, I get to enjoy. I love drag. Mm-hmm. That's why I do drag, because I love drag. And it's so disheartening sometimes to be so involved in what you love that you can't see it. Just like politics. People are so involved in what's going on now that they can't step away and see what's really going on because they're so deep in it. You're so deep worried about what's going on in Texas, you're not realizing that California is burning down right now.
Right.
Like, you're like, I just wish I could see it all. I don't get to see it all anymore.
Well, speaking,
you can't see the puzzle when you're a piece of the puzzle. That's deep.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so speaking of some spirituality shit, one of our favorite numbers is of you in your little church get up, Mama.
Okay, but I loved it. Wait, it's the number that you did for the Pride fundraiser, and it was at the Unitarian Church.
Oh, okay.
I was like, this is so different from what I normally see you do, and I was like living for it. I yelled at you in the parking lot. I was like, I love that number.
And she loves it when you do that. She just
talks. I do. People yell at me, and then I duck because I expect them to throw something. Like, Kelly, your number was great. Take cover. So that number is The Battle is the Lord's by Yolanda Adams. I have a huge repertoire of like gospel songs I like to do.
What, did you grow up in church?
I grew up in the church. So,
and singing.
Yes, singing. You did some background research on me.
Girl, I know everything about you.
We've been brainstorming.
So I was raised with my grandmother out east of Gainesville in a little city called Grove Park, which is, do you guys know where Hawthorne is?
Mm-hmm.
Literally, it's like the one church that's before Hawthorne with that one road that goes down, one store.
Mm-hmm.
It's me.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
It's me. Like, that's me. That's literally me. That's where I was raised. And that little church is my growing up church. Like, that's where I learned everything. Everything from music, theater, singing, like just everything. Like, I just learned everything. So a lot of what I was growing up doing was, you know, practicing religion. Literally, my church's name was St. Peter Full Gospel Missionary Baptist Church.
Well, that's a mouthful.
It's a mouthful, and it was an earful.
Yeah.
So that's very deeply rooted in who I am. My grandmother raised me, so like, you know, not saying the stereotype of black grandmothers, but very much that. I have a very close and religious and loving relationship with my grandmother and all of that. So, and it's hard to drag with me when someone truly said that it doesn't matter what you're doing. You guys have noticed, I go out and do some weird fucking songs. I do some different stuff. Yeah, you can always count on me to do a booty shaking number, but I'm always going to give you something different or interesting for my first number. I'm going to give you Eliza, I'm going to give you an Eartha, or I'm going to give you a Scat, or I'm going to give you something like that.
So I was going to relate it to church. So one of my favorite numbers is when you scat.
Yes. I've only seen the videos of that.
I don't know.
It's on Tumblr.
Is that audible?
I mean, it's like, sorry, low hanging fruit joke.
Yeah. Well, no. So that was one of that's. So you talk.
But
about
you these, always talk about this that. This is number, I'm actually obsessed with it. All you the time.
So I'll get to it. So
I get to actually get crazy about it.
So one of the reasons why I do that so much, and like I was saying about the weird numbers, is someone truly said to me that it doesn't matter what song you do, if you're connecting with the audience, you're communicating, and they know what you're getting across, that's a solid number. So at me, a lot of times it was like, you know, everybody doesn't care to hear a gospel song. Everybody doesn't care to hear, oh, this lady's in a club shouting, but she knows her words. I know I have the passion for it, so I know I can put the passion into it. All you guys have to do is clap and watch.
Right.
That's literally it. And once I started doing that, then it was like, I can communicate it, and then, I mean, it's just me. Like, it's just me. I feel like when I do gospel songs, like, it's just easy. Like, I feel like gospel songs are easier to do than, like, a booty shaking mix.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
It
felt, maybe that's why I like it so much, because it seems so natural.
So natural. Yeah. But, you know, it's like, you get paid for what you do, what you see. So, I mean, people show me love, and they still tip me, you know, for stuff like that, but at the end of the day, I need to shake my ass for a couple 20s.
Well, I struggle. fair. Well, I struggle too, by the way. So last night was the first time I've ever performed at University Club Drag Race.
Oh my God, that's true.
Really?
At University Club outside.
Outside of Drag Race.
Mm-hmm. Outside of Drag Race,
first
yes.
time I've ever been on the stage.
Yeah.
So this is a big milestone for me.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was a big deal. But what I will say this is that, you know, I've been working on like trying to get some hot spots or something like that. So it'll happen in its time. But my second number, so you recommend doing the more avant-garde piece first.
Just because when it gets time to the dance floor to open, everybody wants to dance.
Right.
Everybody wants to drink.
And they're more in that kind of dance.
They're in that headset. They've already went to their bathroom and then, you know, done whatever they need to do. They've already went out to the car and took their stuff. Mm-hmm. So they come back. What the fuck are you up here scatting for, lady? It is 1:30 in the morning. Right. Like,
so this is really good advice. That's because good. Last night I did it the opposite. And I did not get the kind
and
of response
hated
that
it.
I wanted.
Okay, no,
exactly.
They didn't hate it. They didn't hate it.
No, you saw your pregnant one?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that was a gig.
I loved it. I loved it. I mean, I had a good time doing it. But it just was kind of like, I felt the energy. And of course, this is my first time doing it. So it was, I allowed myself
exactly. And that's something that comes with time.
Discover this, right? But... So, yeah, it was good to...
And the reason why I do that is just because you always want to set the mood of what you are. So, if you come out in your first number and you're hopping around, you're dancing, you know, you're upbeat, and then you come second number and you're doing a slow number or you're doing a more intimate number, you're setting the bar too high for yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to raise your own bar up. Uh-huh. So, if I go out and did my booty shaking mix first and then came out and did Adele, they'll be like, what?
Right.
They'll be like, you... Juju,
right,
flipped
right.
It.
Flipped it. Yeah, and I felt that. I felt that. Awesome.
Yeah, so that's why your first number, you come and you let them know, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. This is what I enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. Look at me. Pretty. I haven't started sweating yet. Mm-hmm. I can get you into this, yada, yada. And then second number, oh, y'all already know who I am. Y'all know what I'm about. So let's go.
You bring the party.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay. Exactly.
Okay.
So,
fair.
That's
so like
if you keep it like that, then... The energy, because I mean, literally, you think about it. At 11:30, there's 23 people in the bar. Mm-hmm. At 12 o'clock, there's 110 people in the bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're right.
Hopefully, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, last night,
depending on what night we're talking about.
There was a good amount of people last night.
Well, the fire code is like 100, so maybe 110.
Some,
you don't have to deal with the doors.
That building, the fire code is probably 2. So you want to keep it going, and you don't want to bring anybody down, and so you just keep pumping them up. Like sometimes, if you know, hey, I'm tired tonight, I want to do 2 slow numbers. Then just do 2 slow numbers. Uh-huh. Don't do a slow number and then say, oh, I'm even tireder now, I'm going to do a slower number. Because then just like, then you're just bland all night. You don't want to be bland. Like, you need a spike of energy, but it's best to do it at the end. Because if you give them energy at the end, they're already wasted. So then they just give you money.
I know. Okay.
Literally.
All right, we're going to cut that out so no one else knows this.
So no one else knows this. Like, I promise you.
I'm not sharing this with anyone.
This is
our season finale, by the way. Speaking of season finales, you know, you watched RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
And Sasha Velour won.
Yeah.
She did.
And Shea Coulee was a third. We got somewhere to call
her. She was third, first in her heart.
But Peppermint, there's this whole mix.
Peppermint is number 0 in mine. She's like the 4 first in my heart. She's
but
like,
you got to
amazing.
Perform on the same stage as Sasha Velour and Shea Coulee. Yes, ma'am. Did. How about that?
It was everything. Really? First off, they're all total potheads.
Oh, that's cute.
They're all
I like that.
It's literally, I was like, ooh, how can I break the ice? Ooh, how can I break the ice? I walked up, I was like, do you smoke pot?
And they were like,
Shay was like, oh, where is it? I was like, oh, well, we're going to have it if you guys come to the club after. And she was like, oh, okay, we're going to come. Which, by the way, they never fucking show.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, no.
And they whoever comes every year, they always show. Like, literally, this is the first year they didn't show.
Huh.
Shay was super cool.
I did connect with their assistants.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I'm having a private party at my house. And so they weren't actually at my house.
They were not.
I was like,
lies.
Do you
not
connect with the assistants?
See, he's going to tell me this in the season.
And the assistants,
really them on
the assistants you snatch and you bring them back to your house.
Literally.
Because the assistants are the ones pushing them around to go over.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. But yeah, so all the girls. So who was there? Shay, Sasha.
I think that was it.
Katya.
Katya was
there.
It was Katya, yes.
Listen,
girl, how do we forget Katya?
Well, she wasn't on the season.
She wasn't on the season, so that's why. But I'll loop back to the season. When I tell you guys, Katya, I've never met a person who literally my humor just deflects off of their humor. Like, y'all know how, like y'all got y'all little joke notebooks. Y'all know I don't need no notebook. I'm just funny. Like, I just talk and it's just funny. Like, because I'm just stupid. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm just dumb.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm like,
but it's funny. And when I tell you, Katya, like, matched my wit.
Really?
Oh, my. Like, it's not a front for TV.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's not edited.
No, she's
super natural.
It's none of that.
Absolutely.
She is so genuinely just funny. Uh-huh. Like, she would say something funny, and I would kiki it, uh-huh. and then she would, like, just be like, oh, you thought your joke was funny?
Step one. Step
literally.
Six.
And I'm just like, oh my God, I cannot keep up with this woman. And I'm like, no, bitch, I'm gonna keep up with you. So here's another one.
What is it you always say, bud? You always say yes and? Is that what it is?
Yes if and.
The trick is the,
that's improv. Mm-hmm.
That's improv. Mm-hmm.
So Katya's got some yes and.
Oh, she's very system. Much that. Mm-hmm.
She's amazing. She's
but yeah, so out of everybody, Katya was like my connection. I loved her. But as far as this season, I probably like Shay the best. Mm-hmm. Sasha may have known that she was in the winner's circle at that point, maybe. She wasn't necessarily standoffish, but it was just more like no one really went to talk to her besides Shay.
It was surprising. It was actually, that's true. Because yeah. I think everybody at the time thought Shay was going to win.
Yeah, but yeah. I think Sasha knew that she, I think she knew.
She knew.
She, oh,
and she was like, I'm watching, knows. I'm learning all you bitches. If you're coming for me, you're coming for me. If you're not, then I'm counting you. I'm counting you now.
Literally.
Well, speaking of comedy and stream of conscience, you had a Nazi protest interview.
Okay. Good. This is unfiltered.
Speaking of Facebook.
So, you guys know, like, this wonderful thing called marijuana.
I've never.
It's a fabulous thing. If you don't partake in it, the devil's lettuce. Someone called it the devil's cabbage. Like squash. It was a vegetable.
The devil's artichoke.
Yeah, the devil's artichoke. I think that's what it was. Oh my God. Right? Like artichoke.
The devil's
artichoke.
Devil's
Spanish moss. Yeah. It looks like Spanish moss to me. Right?
So yeah, literally. So Jador Lagore, who was on how many episodes ago?
Last one.
Last episode. Jador Lagore, who was your last episode. She's my roommate.
She doesn't smoke.
Pop. No. She doesn't do anything. Mm-hmm. She doesn't drink. She mm-hmm. is
she's
virgin?
Very straightforward.
Is she a virgin?
She, okay, this, does
she's
anal.
Saving it for marriage.
Everything you guys
that's
said.
That's what she told us.
Everything you guys said is wrong. It's so wrong. And I'm not going to be a wreck because I know she might listen to this. Hey, Jador. But yeah.
We'll cut out the part where you were nice to her.
Yeah, cut that out. And the crystal nice part. Jador's my roommate. And literally, Josh was worried the day of. He was like, you know, with everything that happened in Charlottesville. And there was another one before it. So literally, it was Charlottesville. And then it was coming here. And it was just like, Josh was... You know, he was like on edge. He was like, I don't want you around it. I don't want you anywhere near it, to be honest. Just because you never fucking know. Like, the world's going to shit. Like, I mean,
right.
We're getting better intellect-wise, but moral-wise, we're just, like, going down.
I want you to know I felt very similarly about people going to it as well.
Exactly.
Just like, I don't know, this is not coming.
And I think the process for us was like, literally, we were just at home, and it was like we had talked about it. It was just more of, do I keep my voice to myself and just assume that someone's hearing me, or do I put my voice out there and know you're hearing me? Like, it was just like, take us back to the civil rights movement. We weren't running. We were in your face because change needed to happen. When it came to gay rights, we weren't running. We were in your face because that is what needed to happen. And over time, yeah, those all might have been bad incidents, but they all led to good change. And I would rather say that I lived through I would rather be a part of it than to say that I stood away and not even coward. Not coward.
Right.
Because I respect your safety. If you say, baby, I'm staying home. Period. You're staying home, and there's nothing I can do about it. I'm not made to make you feel bad about it. But I just felt like I needed to be there. So me and Jador got super stoned. Lots of E6000.
Free love.
Free love.
Do you
see
my E6000?
Yeah, so we got super freaking stoned, and we're like, let's go down there. So, and then lo and behold, the one person who was like, oh, don't go to the protest, don't, death, deception, was there praying for people. Uh-huh. Larry.
Uh-huh. Okay, so
literally.
Larry and I felt the same way. We felt very, and I was very same with Larry, and then he showed up. I was like, bitch, oh my God. And he was
literally. literally.
If you were going to cut your memo, then I needed you to come to let me in on this.
You could come with me. You did come and pick me up from the protest.
And somebody got shot at. Where I picked you up.
This is the thing. Yes. That's what shook me, because literally, like, I swear to God, I'm like, great, I'm not making this up. Me and Kat, you guys remember, you remember the 3 mug shots of the guys that came out? The one that had been shooting. Mm-hmm. The blonde guy, the one that looked like a fucking Nazi. He was the one who...
I was like, that's my ex.
How they were coming out of the building, they were coming out of the side and they were walking up the middle road, and they would go either to the right to more police service or to the parking garage, to the left to go wherever. Mm-hmm. So that guy, we literally hated him. I mean, there's no other way to say it besides talking shit.
That's fair.
I mean, it's fair. Yeah.
Because he looked like it. So you saw him walking?
No. When he came out of the building, everybody knew that he was one of the people that was in there.
So on your interview, because they actually have a live. So I think most people, if they've seen it, they've only seen your interview. Mm-hmm. But if you actually saw what the cameraman was filming right before, it was the guy coming out of the building.
So it was by the time you caught wind, you would just see a whole group of people. They're like, "This is him! This is it!" And then everybody just goes in. Yeah, it's like, yeah, right, you deserve it. Yeah. So literally, that was one of the last guys we saw come out. So he's walking up the middle, we're all doing that. He goes to the left, and that doesn't work, so he goes to the right, and he meets up with cops. The cops put him in handcuffs, I forget the word they used. It was like a display of security or some false arrest shit. Something just to make it look like he's under arrest, but he's not. They're just taking him to a safe place to let him go. So that happened. So things start winding down. So me and Kat are like, all right, let's go ahead and quit. So me and Kat parked at Winn-Dixie over on 34th Street. Mm-hmm. So we get up there, we get in the car, we get to the light at Archer and 34th. All of a sudden we hear bang. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no. I'm like, no. So we literally go through the light, and they didn't even release it. Some police reports. This thing, I was there. Do you know where the Radio Shack is?
Yes.
There's a bus stop right next to it. At that bus stop were three. It was two girls and a boy. They all had anti-Nazi protest signs. Mm-hmm. Allegedly, pretty much. What happened is that boy, when they detained him, they let him go. Mm-hmm. He went to his vehicle. Me and Kat walked up to our vehicle. He came around, went past the Radio Shack. He literally had to be a light before us, and shot at the kids sitting at the bus stop. Could you imagine just waiting for the number 8 and just... Yeah,
and you think, you're like, man, I'm glad nothing happened.
I'm just sitting here with my sign. We're done now.
I for sure felt that way when we left. Why was I so freaked out?
Literally, the guy rolled past him and shot. He shot two shots, actually. One of the shots missed, and then another shot hit the building.
Yeah.
Which, it's hilarious that Radio Shack closed down 2 days after that. It's so funny, because they literally closed right after it. They're like, oh, we changed the Sprint and y'all shooting at us.
I just want you to know. Okay, so that's fine. You said it was a number 8. I think it's a number 1.
Oh.
It's a number 1 round.
It is a number 1. Yeah. Number 8 Shan's. Okay.
I don't
know. The 35 really runs there, too. that was just a very
Can I just tell you how I appreciate the fact that Kelly also has glitter all over her face?
She's got gold glitter. My work schedule is just crazy. Josh knows,
you just keep it on.
Yeah, if I come in bed to love on you and I got mascara on, take it. It's literally him.
Well, so I think the fantasy I have had. We do have a fancy game. Okay, so
speaking of politics, culture, right? Mm-hmm. Taking things too seriously at Facebook. I have some questions.
Right. So this is your favorite game, because literally it's only the things that are important.
Okay.
Top in the news feed.
So this game is called "What the Fuck Is Going On." All right, so I'm going to ask you guys questions that happened in the last week.
We're going to auto-tune it, and we're going to do, what the fuck is going on?
I mean, do we need auto-tune?
Not with my voice.
Right, he's like, I don't need
it. You actually have not the worst voice. By the way, when can we download your single on iTunes?
Baby Holy Dreams. Night.
It's available.
Holy Night. I love it.
Spelled with H-O-L-E-Y. Yeah, it's available on iTunes now.
Okay, so I need everyone to come up with a buzzin' word, and I'll read the question. You'll say your buzzin' word. Whoever I hear first, I'll ask you to answer the question. Okay.
My buzzword is Diet Coke.
Diet Coke. Okay, Jess, you're going to play this time, right?
If you want me to.
I will, of course, want you to. I think we need three.
Okay, but can I just pick my same buzzword? Can it just be Buzz always?
You just want to be Buzz?
She's officially calling Buzz.
What about any onomatopoeia you want?
What about onomatopoeia? I'm comfortable with Buzz. Why do you...
Why are you taking it so sensitive right now?
All
right,
fine. You know what? Self-identification.
Yeah, because she's a woman?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right, Buzz. And then Kelly, what word would you...
Diet Coke, so I'll just be Coke.
Okay. Oh,
and Coke. I'll let you decide.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
Okay. You set yourself up for failure with that word. I'm going
to
choose two
I words. Told you a long time ago I wanted to be your straight man, and I literally just threw you a softball. And, you took it. And I'm telling you...
Unintentionally.
We could do this. We could.
She's been throwing softballs all weekend. Sorry.
So anyway.
Okay. All right. So congratulations are in order for Kylie Minogue, her primary fan base, because Australia just officially did what?
Coke.
Yes.
Who is Kylie Minogue?
Diet Coke. She's a white woman.
She sung that song. What's the name of the song she sung?
Well, as a kid, she did that song Locomotion, and then she disappeared for us, but in abroad, she was still famous.
Hmm.
But then she came back and she had that la la la.
Nah, yeah, okay, that's
la,
what I thought.
La, 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 la.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Can't get you off of my head.
Right.
Is that
that's not
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. Wait,
I can't give
it?
You enough
can't
head.
Can't get you off.
Can't get you. I can't get you off with
don't
head.
Don't stop rubbing
okay.
my head.
Can't get you off. Okay, but she's an Australian shuntringan. Do you have
what, to read me the question for one more time? I didn't know it was...
What is the... Okay, so what just happened in Australia?
Okay, well, I will say that I did see it on your paper. But listen.
Shady!
I was like, should I write the answer? But then I thought I'd get too nervous and I'd forget the answer.
I knew it because I saw a video on Facebook of their... Like, they were like, Senate floor went
right.
crazy.
Okay.
Marriage equality.
Yes, it was.
Marriage equality. That's better than gay marriage. I feel like that's less tacky.
Marriage equality.
Yeah, what's gay marriage?
Give her the point. It's fine.
Okay,
it's
all right.
Fine.
Okay, so the score is Kelly has one. You guys have zip.
Okay.
So get back in it. Get back in it. Okay. All right.
Diet
Coke. Now,
what was the question?
Okay, the Silence Breakers were named Time Magazine's Person of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
What was very interesting about the photo?
You didn't have to finish this question.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
This is why you use Twitter, because Twitter is up to date.
Kelly, tell me, what was interesting about the photo?
What was interesting to me is that the love of my life, Rose McGowan, was on it.
We need fans. Jess, will you pass us some fans? I have another idea. Go ahead, tell me the answer.
So that was my first reason it was interesting. But the other reason it was interesting is because there was an unnamed arm in the picture that referenced future victims of sexual harassment and the people who haven't come out yet.
Yes.
So I thought that was really...
Oh, I thought we would use a sound fan. Can we hear that though? Oh, well, it's a small sound.
You want a Thor?
Okay.
Oh, jeez, they're shooting.
So I thought we should name the Thorping fans after these Silence Breakers. So this is Silence Breaker, and we can start with Rose McGowan.
Rose McGowan.
This is Silence Breaker Rose McGowan.
Yes.
Rose McGowan. She's amazing. I wrote some other sound. So Tarana Burke is the person that came up with the hashtag MeToo, so that's nice for us. And then Alyssa Milano was the first person that like made the hashtag MeToo very popular.
Love of my life as well.
So they're great. and Ashley Judd came out against Weinstein like decades ago. She was trying to get
right,
people
to notice.
Right,
that's what she wanted to do?
Yeah.
You wanted to throw it for...
Which of these people... Okay, so speaking of victims of dumpster fires presenting themselves as people, which of these people have not been accused of sexual assault? I'm going to read a list, and as soon as you hear the person that has not been accused of sexual assault, then you can buzz in, okay? You guys ready? Because the score's 2-0. All right.
Yeah, come on, catch up.
Okay, Louis C.K., Russell Simmons, Michael Bay or Matt Lauer? Those are the four.
Michael Bay. Yeah, Michael Bay.
But you gotta buzz in.
Oh, Coke. Michael Bay.
It's Michael Bay. You guys are so
right. There's Michael Bay's so everything. He wouldn't do that. Michael
Bay. He's too busy looking for his Coke.
Yeah.
He's not worried about ladies. Okay. All right.
Do you guys even internet?
Come on.
Do you guys even internet?
I got internet.
First of all. We didn't all pick Coke as our as our go-to.
You say diet.
Right.
Diet. Yeah. That's still go. Two syllables.
We'll just say die. Just say die.
Die.
That was your choice.
Die.
I know.
That was your choice.
All right.
You made your bed. You made your bed. Now you have to die in it. Okay. All right. So the RNC decided to do what to appeal to its religious base? Okay. I'll finish the question, but you can answer. The RNC decided to do what to appeal to its religious base for this accused child molester, Roy Moore. What did they do?
Thought it was going to be a different question.
Oh! Well, didn't he resign? I think... They made him resign, didn't they?
No.
They backed him, and I thought that was going to be the answer, which is what I knew.
Yes, they backed him.
So really?
That's the answer.
Oh, good.
So the RNC has now endorsed him. Donald Trump, they followed Donald Trump's lead, and he made a public statement saying,
wow,
let's vote for Roy Moore. And now the RNC is behind.
Yeah, and I read an article that was really interesting. The whole thing was like, there's a lot of moral questions. Like, how can you be more, like, basically Donald Trump said, oh, I think, you know, I would rather have a Republican than a Democrat, and that's why I'm going to endorse him. And this is alleged, and the state of Alabama can solve this problem.
Right.
But.
Also, the age of consent in Alabama is 12, so
15?
That's fine.
Yeah.
It's like not a big deal.
Is that real?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, my God.
I was like, I'm so sorry, Alabama.
Wait,
I'm just kidding.
But there's like a question of more. And I love that you said this earlier. You were like, there's a lack of morals. There's intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Like, we just keep growing in intelligence, but our
morally,
is dying.
It's just terrible.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things is that somebody...
Or ethically. Like, that's the
right.
other word. Yeah.
Somebody was like, well, how can you justify this to yourself or have like the values in your heart to understand and recognize that this is wrong what this person is being accused of, and you would never endorse that, and so you would never endorse the candidate as a result. Meanwhile, a cake baker is totally morally able to discriminate based on something they have absolutely no understanding of whatsoever.
Yep. Right.
So it's really a strange contradiction.
It's fucked.
That we're dealing
with.
So.
The world is fucked.
Okay, so speaking of international news, so this is going to be international current events. Okay, so what did Trump do to aid diplomatic peace talks between Israel and Palestine?
Oh my God, he did that. That was dumb. But okay.
Jerusalem, the
capital. Yeah, like who does that?
Yes. So he put in his support for Israelis' claim to Jerusalem. So I worded that very carefully because I was like, I don't quite understand what's everything that's going on over there, but I got to word this.
It's pretty complicated.
What is he doing?
He supports Israelis' claim to Jerusalem, which caused riots, schools closed. There's violence between the Israeli army and between Palestinian protesters because of this. So, you know, great job. That'll keep us up.
Thanks, Trump.
For a couple nights, at least. And we are closer to doomsday. Okay, that's my game. That's what the fuck is going on in the world.
What the fuck is going on?
What the fuck is going
what
on?
What the fuck
did
is
we
going
get everything?
On?
We got everything, Mom.
Favorite.
Everything.
Hey, do you have any butt plugs you want to talk about?
Yeah.
Me?
So the last category is butt plugs.
I mean, I can just talk about my schedule.
Yes.
What are you doing?
What's my schedule? I'm always busy, so if you need me, call me after like 1 a.m.
Do you do this full time?
I do drag full time.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, it's tiring.
Painful?
Oh, it's so tiring. Like, I just swear to you, like, this is going to be gross. This is going to be gross.
Tell me.
Okay.
I'm turning into an old person.
Okay. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord. And you were talking about my gum. Kelly. Oh, Jesus.
All right. So for those who don't have a camera.
I need my amazing couch.
There is a giant. She showed the bottom of her foot. And it is a giant goiter. growing out of it. And
I mean, it was 6 inches long at least, right?
at least. Well,
9 inches or less.
Dancers a lot of time get calluses on their feet. It's from putting too much pressure on the foot in a certain place that can cause the swelling of skin cells that turns into hardened skin and all of that. So I have a lot of qualms with working all the time, mostly because I do dance so much, and people do, you can attest, people underestimate how hard it is to walk and stay and maintain a hill. And it's like, I'm used to it, I love it, but it does take a toll on your body. It's like, I mean, I'm sure you walking up some days and your calves are, they're just hurting.
Baby, I'm pretty sure I twisted my leg. Like, my ankle last night. I'm pretty sure I did.
Really?
I mean, I'm okay.
Oh, my God. Right? And we just get through it.
It's fine. Yeah, just got to put that heel back and go kick it up like
this. Yeah, no, you work a lot. You got to, I do this full time, so, I mean, you just suck it up. But, literally every Thursday, Friday, I'm at UC. Every Saturday, I'm at Boys. I wish it was called Boys. Bows. Coral Reef in Jacksonville. It's on Jacksonville Beach, so that's always a very drunk crowd.
That's three nights a week.
Yeah, three nights. Well, and then
being in and doing drag. That's not even preparing for.
Literally, and the thing is too, like when UCDR rolls around, that'll be literally Monday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. My calendar is pretty much set, but if I ever do say, oh, I need the extra work or whatever, I'll call Metro or I'll go to Hamburger Mary's or I'll do something like that. So if I'm in like one of my grind months, I can easily be doing four to five bookings a week. Like, and that, it sounds like a little bit, but it adds up. I'm working 20 days out of 30 calendar days in a month.
No, one every other week at months. It's like a lot. I feel like that's a lot.
Well, okay, so, but Kelly has secondhand clothes.
Right? I just walk in the closet and I'm like, trash, I'll take it. You work for today. But yeah, no, and that's another reason why I'm so grateful, like, I can't tell people enough, invest in your drag. If you literally invest in your drag will take care of you. Mm-hmm. If I would have started out and I was only doing one show a week and I just decided, oh, I want, since I'm only working one day a week, I'm only going to have four costumes and just rotate those throughout the month. Then when it comes time to, oh, now you're working 2 days a week, you have no clothes. Mm-mm.
Right.
You have no clothes. Mm-hmm. You have nothing to wear. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just so grateful that I was able to invest in my closet and buy stuff. And I mean, y'all are there all the fucking time, so y'all know what I have.
Right.
But you know, it's like I try to keep a nice rotation. And I have a wonderful closet.
Good. When you say wonderful, do you mean trash?
Do you mean Goodwill bags?
But I've never had the thought, oh, she wore that last week.
She bought it at Ross. Well, no, we definitely didn't have the thought that she bought it at Ross.
You know what the trick is to that? What? Literally, and it's kind of hard to maintain, but it's easy to maintain once you get used to it. Go through your closet and literally pull out everything you don't wear. Everything you don't wear, put in a bin at the bottom of the closet. If you don't wear it, there's no, why is it taking up space? Then you hang up everything you do wear. Hang it up in the order from the last thing you wore to the most not worn.
I'm just gonna do this in my life.
Literally,
that sounds good.
So when you pull,
I'm just doing this in my life.
When you pull from the closet, you take the costume for a night, take the costume from last night, put it at the back of the closet.
Okay.
So now you have a 4 week rotation of costumes. I mean, and I like to even do that with like dirty clothes. You just wore something and then you happen to do clothes that night and then you're like, oh, well, this is clean and I want to wear it again, but I just wore it 2 days ago. Just do it like that. Like, I'll just go through and be like, oh, I know this should go back here because by the time we go through these shirts, then I'll have time to wear that. So, I'll be like, oh, I wore that dress. Well, let me pull this dress to the front because I haven't worn it. And it's just still there.
When is University Club Drag Race going to start around?
University Club Drag Race. We're having our official photo shoot in January 17th. You guys are asking about contestant numbers and all that shit, too. Did we divulge into UCDR? I didn't tell you guys any contestants.
Yeah, how many are there going to be?
You heard two of them. There's one spot open. I have nine girls. It was full, and then one girl dropped.
I heard two girls dropped.
Who?
Two girls dropped, but I filled her spot immediately. Okay. I wasn't playing no games with that.
So there's still one spot.
There's one spot left.
Could beg Kelly to let them in.
Spit on me.
That's kinky. Okay, that's getting dirty.
But UCDR, we're doing our photo shoot January. We're probably going to get a flyer released around February, and we're looking at a March start date. My biggest thing is I try not to go by when I'm starting. I try to go by when I'm ending. Because last year and the year before that, we in the first week of June. So I usually try to keep it around like June 5th or June 6th for the finale, just so that it ties everybody over in the summer. And the people that do leave during the summer, I know, oh, it won't run over. Yeah, you know, you'll have time or whatever.
But you know, we're going to have a shit ton of people.
For what?
March 5th.
No. Not the 5th.
Yeah, so we want to, but are we 12. Doing exit interviews officially?
I feel like there's a potential that Cream and Two Sugars could do exit interviews for some of the drag queens.
That'd be really good.
Honestly, that'd be cute as fuck.
We could do it even without the permission.
Okay. And are you doing anything heavy cream?
What do you mean? Girl, I don't have nothing. I was excited last night.
Available.
She's
available. She's available. She's available for bat mitzvahs and birthday parties.
Girl, that's
true. If you need a clown in a dress.
That's true. That is true. This is a true statement. I will do it. And it does not have to be.
Oh, I didn't tell you guys one of the challenge I was going to tell you.
Oh, what? Tell
us. We skipped right over you.
Tell us the challenge.
We started pageant and then we're like.
What was it?
So one of the top four challenges, which I think that's why the girl is doing vagina.
Teaser. This is the vagina challenge?
It's not a vagina challenge. She's doing a vagina and it's going to be fucking hilarious.
She thinks she's
going
to be top four apparently. Okay, all right.
Yeah, all right. That's what I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, I don't know who it is, so don't even take that to say. Get your thwart. So one of the top four challenges is go big or go home.
Oh, Lord.
I want one thing to be huge. And I mean huge. And it's funny because I was like, if Heavy does it, his hair is going to be fucking huge. Yeah.
That's the one.
She's going to be a vagina.
She just asked if I could make her a big vagina, and I was like, I don't know.
Warbler?
I mean, I don't know.
She was like, I'll figure out. Actually, I figured out another way to do it, so I don't need you. And I was like, okay, cool.
I mean, unless she's going to do that for The Death Becomes Her and put, like, teeth on the vagina.
I don't know either. But
like, that would be cool.
Whatever. Okay, no more spoilers. We got those two teasers.
Yeah, y'all got that. And y'all got a start date.
We got a start date,
number of contestants. Y'all got two challenges.
9 contestants, a runway, and a challenge. And now you can see Kelly Kelly at the UC on Thursdays and Fridays, and soon Mondays. And you can see her at Bose, like the headphones in Jacksonville on Saturday night. And you can see Heavy Cream at
always on Pornhub.
Right, always on, anytime you want on Pornhub.
It's Second Avenue and Third Street.
And she'll be at Second Avenue
next
and Third
to the
Street.
School. Like, literally next to the school.
Super excited. I think Downtown Drag is going to start up again.
At Mods, right?
And this is actually, at Mods, Sidecar Bar.
Mm-hmm.
And this
so
is actually,
get your plug into hand.
Yeah, I mean. the other thing is that Cream and Two Sugars is going to take a little break.
For about a month.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, to kind of think about whether or not we actually want to be friends anymore.
Right.
Or
we've got some things to work out.
Right. Like that.
Couples therapy.
Oh, I don't know when you guys are probably. I mean, you see,
tell
right?
Me. All know you're there.
Okay, they know you're there.
Yeah. It's pretty consistent.
I messaged London this morning, literally, the life of drag queen. I messaged London this morning, hey, I'm still a little drunk. Can I work tonight? What sense does that make? But okay.
But that's what you had said.
But that's what I said. I was like, I'm a little hungover, but I kind of want to work tonight. Okay. Works for me.
Well, thanks for coming on.
Thank you guys.
So much,
you're extra
so
creamy.
Fun.
I know.
I love it all over my face. My whole plunge.
Wait, can we close with your favorite closing?
My favorite closing.
Oh my god.
I have two favorite closings. I have one for when Mark is there, and then I have one for when Mark is not there.
Okay,
what's Mark there?
So my one for if Mark's there?
Yeah.
If Mark is there. Thank you everyone for visiting Cream and Two Sugars. I'm Kelly Kelly. If you ain't getting fucked up, what the fuck you doing? Have a good night. The dance floor is open.
Yeah.
That's my mark.
That's the PC one.
That's my PC
one. Okay,
But there's another one that we talk about a lot.
Wait, really?
I hope I'm going to say the right one. I mean, I only have one other one.
Okay.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This is Kelly Kelly. And if you ain't rocking 9 inches or better, you're basically dickless. Good night.
Bye.